Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Romans chapter 6, standing on your feet if you're able, verse 1, New King James Version. Are you ready? Notes are being passed out. Continue on, gentlemen. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, everybody say knowing this. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe also that we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise. Everybody say likewise. You also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Read verse 14 out loud like you mean it. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under... Now make it personal. Dominion over me. You ready, set, go. For sin shall not have dominion over me. Let's pray. Father, move in power, Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, oh yeah, I've been set free from the dominion of darkness. Come on, say to somebody else, I'm set free. Say like you mean it. Say, I'm set free. My God. Woo. I used to love the beginning of every new semester as a student because it was like a clean slate. And I just would want to do better than the previous semesters. And I would love new school years and new years because it's like a clean slate, like, okay, this year. So oftentimes I'd fail to take advantage of a clean slate. Have you ever longed for a clean slate? How many of you ever like, oh, I wish I could just start over? Well, you can. You can. You can do it tonight. I have on my finger a wedding band on my left finger. I have, my wife and I spent we spent all our money on our wedding bands. And we had no money after we bought them. We were engaged. We went to Tiffany. I wanted Tiffany wedding bands for a number of reasons. My mother used to work for Tiffany in New York City on Fifth Avenue, and I wanted the Tiffany wedding band. You want to get yours from Walmart, glory to God. I wanted to get mine from Tiffany. I just did. And so we did. It was like twice as expensive as Walmart rings, but it says Tiffany on the inside. Anyway, it meant something to me for a lot of different reasons, not naming all of those. When we were married, when we exchanged vows and exchanged rings, it was the most profound experience in God I've ever had in all of my years of being saved and born again up to this date. I'm pretty sure heaven will probably trump that. I'm sure heaven will be really similar, but more so. And without going into that whole story, our engagement, our whole wedding story is just amazing. It's a book. It's like a movie. It's just incredible, supernatural. And we said vows and oaths, and we exchanged rings. This ring is a represent. It is the single most important physical thing I own. It means more to me than my car. Means more to me than my house. It means more to me than anything else I own. It is a representation of the vow that I made with you before God, till death do us part. It's a big deal to me. In fact, I've used the ring as an illustration for baptism for years. I don't do it this way anymore. I pastored in Hawaii for years, and I would take my ring off, and just like how I do, and I would say, baptism is like putting on the wedding band. This is my wedding band. This is not my vow, but it's an outward sign of what happened on the inside, my vow and oath with Pastor Karen. Baptism is an outward sign of your allegiance. So that I'll just head you off right at the bat. That won't work. Thank you so much. In the back would be better, or not at all. I'm so sorry. Lift your hands to Jesus while I get a hold of my brain. Just lost it. It's an outward sign of what's taking place on the inside. So if I lose my wedding band, am I still married? Absolutely. And I took my wedding band off once in the ocean on the island of Kauai. I had done a bunch of baptisms and used the illustration. And we were just about done with baptisms, and this girl comes running up. I'm late. I had a problem. Can I please get baptized? I said, come on. Come on in. Just like we're about to do here in a little bit. So she comes in, and I'm teaching her in the water, in the ocean. Baptism is like an outward sign. And I took my wedding band off, and I said, I'm married, and this is an outward sign. It's my wedding band. I made oaths and vows, and a wave came, and I fumbled my ring, and it falls in the ocean. Immediately, I can see it. I can see it, and I'm like, I got it. I reach down to the sand. Just before I grab it, I get hit with another wave, and it's gone. We're looking for it with that precious girl out there for, I don't know, she's probably standing there for at least 5 minutes. And I realized, okay, I have to baptize her. My ring. My ring's gone. I'm like, Jesus, my ring, Lord, my ring. Baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go get my ring. Now where's my ring? No. I did it in a worthy way. She got baptized. It was powerful. I went in and I told Karen, I said, my ring, I lost my ring. There's people still looking for it, but kind of knew where it was. And there was this one kid. He became a concert violinist. He played in Kansas City in the first chair of violin, just became this brilliant musician. But back then, he was a little unusual. How many of you know some brilliant people are unusual, especially when they're younger? So we're looking for it, and I think we're going to find it. And this kid says, I know how to find it. And he just trounces through all the area where the sand is. So whatever hope we had of finding it is long gone now, because Mr., I don't know where it is. I was so mad at the kid. I'm like, dude, we don't need any help. Caleb. He goes back in. I'm sure I hurt his feelings, which I probably just did just now. But anyway, pray, keep me in prayer. We couldn't find it. And I get to the place where I'm like, I'm not settled that I'm losing my ring. And I just walk away and I start talking with God like I do in crisis. And it was a major crisis for me. I walked out towards the ocean and I said, Lord, that ring means a whole lot. And the Lord said to me, are you okay if you don't find it? I said, yes. He said, are you willing to let it go? I said, I am kind, yes. And I realized I can get another one. And I said, yes. I said, okay, I'll let it go. And I felt like it was an idol or something. I know the Lord was messing with me. The Lord messed with you, he messes with me. And right at that time, I hear this kid, Caleb, say, is this it? Now, he is all the way into the shore. There's people looking throughout, looking in the ocean. He's standing on the shore. Is this it? I'm like, we found some bottle cap or something, for God's sake. So I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Let me see. So I'm walking in. I get closer and closer. Kid's holding a ring. I get closer and closer, and he's obviously holding a wedding ring. But it's totally impossible to be mine. And I said, let me see that. I look, the kid has my wedding band. I said, how'd you do that? How did you do that? He said, I don't know. He said, I just walked in. The Lord said, walk in. And I walked in. He said, turn around. So I turned around. And then he told me to stick my hand in the sand. Listen, this God is my witness. This is what happened. So I stepped down. He's on the shore. We were out 25 feet. He's on the shore. He reaches in. He says, he pulled it. And then your ring was there. I'm good at finding stuff. I'm like, I kissed him. I did. I kissed him. I went, I said, oh, praise God. I've never taken my ring off. Went in the water to use it as an illustration ever again. You know, I met that kid, how many years later? 15 plus years later in Kansas City. I found out they were still there, was able to go and visit, went there. He is like 6'7", genius, violinist. And while we're meeting, we're talking with the family. He used to go to the church, and they moved away and all that. And I'm thinking, I wonder if that kid, I said, hey, Caleb. Do you remember? Oh, yeah, I remember. I mean, you do. You remember that? He said, yeah, that was weird, man. I'm like, I know. It's totally the truth of what happened. No exaggeration whatsoever. Let's get into this quickly now. Paul's challenge to the church, Romans 6, 1 and 2. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin? That grace may abound? Certainly not. Paul's correcting a dangerous mindset. He corrects a dangerous mindset here. Abusing God's grace as a license for sin. And let me just tell you that the neo-Calvinists, the hyper-grace movement, will say that there's just more than enough grace to do whatever you want. Any message of grace that allows you to do more sin is not a message from God. A real message of grace causes you to live holy and pure. Not how much can you get away with. If you wonder, at what point is it sin? You have already blown it if you're looking for that. Baptism is not symbolic only, it's a spiritual declaration. It's a spiritual declaration of separation from sin. Baptism in the Old and New Testaments, moving right along. Baptism into Moses, 1 Corinthians 10:2. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud of the sea. So they came out of Egypt and they went through the water. It's a picture of baptism. What baptism is tonight? It's a picture that you have left Egypt. You've left the world. You've left your sin. You've left the body of sin. You're no longer living in that place. You're crossing over to the promised land. You're going to live in the new life. Can I get a better amen? Amen. Baptism of John, Matthew 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. Whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry, he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And we'll talk about the baptisms of the Holy Ghost in a little bit. Look and see. Baptisms commanded by Jesus, Matthew 28:19. Go, everybody say go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is foreshadowed in the Old Testament, Numbers 19. Verse 7, then the priest shall wash their clothes and he shall bathe in water. It's a picture of cleansing. Afterward, he may come to the camp. So this whole picture of bathing in water and cleaning your clothes. And in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 17, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, you shall make a laver of bronze with its base also of bronze for washing. For what? For washing. It's a picture of cleansing. It's a picture of new life. It's a picture of purification. Ezekiel, I'm moving quick. Are you okay? I'm from New York. You guys good? I'm throwing it down. You all right? Ezekiel 36 and 25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Baptism, typology and meaning. Check this out. Noah, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, I'm so glad I gave you notes because you could take this and go study it, all right? Because I'm giving you volumes. 1 Peter 3 and 20. In the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. There's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God told Noah to build a really big boat, all the youth and the children, to build a what? A big boat called a what? An ark. And he was going to destroy the whole world with what? With a flood. And anybody that got into the ark was carried through the flood, but those that were not were drowned. The ark and the flood is a picture of baptism. Go with me, please. Colossians 2 and 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism. You were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. God gave Abraham a special sign of covenants called circumcision. That's all I'll say about that. And it's a picture, it's a covenant sign. Everybody say it's a covenant sign. Okay, the ring, my wedding ring, is a covenant sign of my oaths and vows with Pastor Karen and the Lord God Almighty. Baptism is a covenant sign of what's taking place on the inside of you. Your repentance and belief on Jesus that he died on the cross. Literally, you've been crucified with Christ. That's the idea. Now, if you don't have that fully in you, you need to get that before you should get baptized. You know, baptism is not just something we do, which we're about to do. We're going to do it big, too. You ready? Instead of an old sign of Abraham, baptism is our sign that we belong to Jesus. We don't need anything done by hands. God does it with his own hand. He takes out the heart of stone. He puts in the heart of flesh. Moses, in 1 Corinthians 10, they were all baptized into Moses and the cloud and the sea. When God had Moses lead his people out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. The water opened up. They walked through it. Another picture of baptism again. This text, as we look at it, baptism declares who we are. I said baptism declares who we are. We're saved by faith. Romans 5, 1, therefore, being justified by, just as if you didn't sin, Somebody said, I said, what does justified mean? It's just as if you didn't sin. I learned that. I'm in like month number one in the church. I heard that, and it just stuck with me. I'm justified. I'm just as if I didn't sin. I'm justified. I'm justified. I'm justified. I'm made right. I'm washed. I'm cleansed. I don't know about you, man, but I had a whole bunch of stuff. Some of you don't realize that really you really got a lot of issues, and you need to be born again, need to be saved, need to be justified. Me, my issues were glaring. Sometimes people have issues that aren't so, you know, destructive. We're saved by faith. It's a contrast to ritualism. Catholicism has sacramentalism. Sacraments. Anybody ever heard of the sacraments? We don't believe in the sacraments. We believe in ordinance. Ordinance is very different than sacrament. Say, what's ordinance? It's that which Jesus did, which we're supposed to continue to do. I'll just say it that way. You know, one of the things I love to do is take complex ideas and put them into ChatGPT-4, although you can't listen to it. You have to double check because ChatGPT-4 lies. But you can take a very complex idea and put it into ChatGPT-4 with the prompt to say, explain this to me like I'm in fifth grade. And it does a great job. Try it with like neuroscience and nanotechnology. Go ahead. If your parents are overseeing that. No, it's sacramentalism is ritualism. No, baptism is spiritual transformation. Reformers emphasized a believer's baptism. I didn't even go into the fact that when a proselyte is someone who converts to Judaism. They convert to becoming a Jew. So when people would convert from being a pagan back in the first century and even before, they give their lives to Jesus. They give their lives to the Lord God to begin to follow the ways of Judaism. They would get baptized. So baptism isn't something Christians invented. God invented it, and it's types and shadows and so profound. And so when Jesus came, the way, the truth, and the life, early church, they baptized because it's a command to be baptized. And it's full submersion. It's not a sprinkling. Some of you might need to be held under just a little bit. I did tell them when I got baptized in the ocean. And I said to them, I have a picture of it up in my... I was going to put it on the screen. I probably should have done it, but I didn't have time. I'll do it another time. It's a picture of me with like this long, incredible head of hair, like totally ripped and stuff, like young. And I got baptized. They were about to baptize me. I said, hold me under a little bit. Hold me. Don't just bring me right up, man. I know what happened on the inside, but like, I just want to remember, like I'm dead. And when I get up, I'm going to be new and cry. I'm going to be alive. Now that happened, of course, internally. But when I went under, they did. They held me under for a little bit. And it was in the ocean. The ocean sucked out a little bit. And when they brought me up, it was like the heavens opened. I was radically transformed. My spiritual eyes were open. My ears were open. I had this encounter with God. I could hardly function for over 24 hours. My mother, and I don't think she would mind if I shared, when she gave her life to Christ, she was a smoker. She went into baptism, went into the tanks, the waters of baptism like we're about to do. When she went in, she said, God, take this from me right now. She went under the water, dead, got up, never smoked another cigarette, never had another taste for it, was totally delivered from cigarette smoking. Miracles can happen at baptism. Oh, I gotta hurry. Baptism declares we're free from sin. Romans 6. Baptism declares we are made alive. We're made what? Alive. Romans 6:4, as well as verse 8. We're empowered to live holy lives. Romans 12 and 14. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Sin does not have dominion over me. I am a spirit-filled man of God. My body obeys what my spirit tells it to, what my mind tells it to. I don't yield to sin. I don't worry about getting caught up in some old life because the old life is dead. Some of you need to go in your backyard now that it's spring, dig a ditch, and have a burial service and put a tombstone and put the date that you gave your life to Christ, because that's when you died to sin. And whenever the enemy comes to try to tell you, really, actually, you could put the baptism date that you got baptized. Baptism's so powerful. You're about to get, raise your hand if you're gonna get baptized tonight all across this place. Come on, you're about to get put in the grave, baby. But you're gonna get up. You're gonna come out of the water filled with resurrection power. And that which goes under the water is gonna stay under there. You are crucified with Christ. No longer you live, but Christ lives in you. God's speaking to us. Come on, somebody say amen. You're a new creation. Oh, I love that. Oh, and I love this too. You're not a secret believer. Baptism is to be done outward, out in public. Requires community, which is further on, but let me read this to you. You're not a secret believer. Matthew 10 and 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess, worship team, before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny. There's no secret Christianity. I'm just kind of an undercover believer. No such thing. There's no such thing. I'm just trying to blend. No. You know, I learned a long time ago that I don't blend too well. My early walk with Jesus, I just didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and I didn't feel like feeling on the outside. I had a lot of healing that had to take place relationally and dealing with my mom and my dad and my brothers and my sisters and siblings and ex-wife and all that. Oh, yeah, I said ex-wife. Yeah, all that. And I found myself just wanting to be accepted everywhere. And then it just didn't work because I found myself like becoming a chameleon. Trying to like, you know what a chameleon is? You kind of blend to the colors of the people you're with. I'm so far from that right now. I have been delivered. But I used to come into situations where it might be a little bit dark or things that might end up tempting me, and I would literally come into those. Sometimes it'd be paddling into the lineup as a surfer. Other times it'd be walking into a situation and people. I would literally walk in or paddle in or show up. And they're like, hey, praise God, the Lord's good. Woo, thank you, Jesus, you're on the throne. They'd be like, Christian freak. I'm like, yeah, absolutely right. You got me right. I'm not a chameleon. I'm on fire. And I would, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I'd paddle out in the lineup. I'd regularly get the biggest wave. I'd regularly just get blessed. On the job, there's no, listen, if people, if they have to look for evidence that you're actually a Christian, You might have lost your flame. You might need to rekindle your walk with the Lord. There's no secret believer. Baptism is not trivial. It's an act of spiritual warfare. It's a testimony. Listen closely to what I say when I land this message 5 minutes over. It's a declaration before God and his angels that you belong to him, that you no longer identify with the world, your flesh, that you have repented of your sin and you believed on the Lord. It's a big deal. It's a declaration not only before God and his angels, before Satan and his demons. Right now, here in a few moments, we start baptizing people. You're saying, Satan, you don't have any hold on me. I am born again. I'm a new creation. I'm alive in Christ. Sin doesn't have dominion over me. I am submitted to the Holy One. I am saved. I am healed. I am no longer in the old world, the old life. I've been made new by the blood of the Lamb. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. I've been healed. I've been delivered. I've been set free. Jesus and thank him. Baptism is a testimony before heaven, a testimony before hell that you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been redeemed. So glad I didn't step on him right there. That's the protection of a tither right there. Baptism requires community. Baptism should not happen. There are exceptions where, you know, somebody can't get out of their house. You can baptize them in their bathtub. Baptism should be done in the church. Of course, the church meaning a part of the community. It doesn't have to be done in the building. We'll do it at a lake. But it's something that happens. It's baptism into the life of God within a community of faith. Are you telling me I can't get baptized if I'm not a part of a church? No, I'm not saying that. And I am saying the right way is to get baptized as a part of a church community. Absolutely. Yes. It's covenant. Did you get something? Water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, two separate things. We believe in the baptism of the Spirit too. And we've taught you along those lines. Lots of scripture, but Luke 3 and 16, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Acts 1 and 5. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism in water? Yes. Baptism of the Spirit? Yes. Did you get something from God?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.